T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You like? They'll send you a fresh pair with your prescription. Easy. Go to warbyparker.com to pick your 5 frames to try on at home for free. That's warbyparker.com to get started for free. WarbyParker.com.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which is owned by Melissa Cookston, who is an 8-time world champion and the first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. So yeah, the barbecue is great, but did you realize Memphis Barbecue Company is way more than just barbecue? They have a full menu for everybody to enjoy. Fried catfish, grilled salmon or chicken, and the best smoked wings around. You can see the menu online and even make a pickup order at MemphisBBQCO.com. That's MemphisBBQCO.com.
The Fence is at it again with a $240,000 BMW and promo cash giveaway. $500 in promo cash every 10 minutes between 7 and 11, and $2,500 at midnight, Fridays and Saturdays in January. But there's more. Two of y'all are going to win a brand new 2021 BMW X1, one on the 9th and another one on the 23rd. Two BMWs in January. Play more, win more at the Fence Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here.
Must be 21 to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Want to bet with cash? Try Action 24/7. Visit action247.com for a location near you. Cash deposits and withdrawals from your Tennessee sportsbook. Action247.com. You got action.
Please bet responsibly.
Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
My name's Gary Parrish. Speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee, Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Her daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you didn't give up on Penny Hardaway's Tigers last night when they went down by double digits in the first half, because Big Bet Bennett, they stormed back to win for the third consecutive time, while looking competent on the offensive end of the court for the third consecutive outing, this time against an opponent that is considered a quality opponent. So if you were taking a wait-and-see approach, I told you in advance of last night's game, that was fine, I understand. But now they've done it against a quality opponent. They added a quad two win. They're now just one game below 500. In quad one / quad two opportunities. So it's good stuff. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. At 4:20, Jeff Borzello is going to join me. Covers college basketball for ESPN. So we'll talk to him about what seems to be the topic in the sport right now, and that's whether conference tournaments are going to happen without exception. And if they do happen, are we certain every team is going to participate? In other words, could the West Coast Conference have a tournament that Gonzaga just say, we don't want to play in it? Or the ACC have a conference tournament and Virginia say, you know what, we're locked in as a 3 seed, we don't want to play in it. Jeff Prezzello is going to join me in the next segment. I'll talk to him about that and other things. When I finish it, take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I will discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Tennessee has a new football coach. His name is Josh Heupel. He took over a UCF program in 2018 that had just gone 13-0. He went 12-1 in year one, 10-3 in year two, 6-4 in year three. So he got worse every year without exception. And then he got the Tennessee job. So that's interesting. We'll talk more about it, 4:44. The 2021 SEC football schedules were announced earlier today. Lane Kiffin going back to Knoxville. Hugh Freeze going back to Oxford. I'll give you the dates on that a little later on this hour. After he did not get enough votes to make the Hall of Fame this year, Kurt Schilling said last night that he doesn't want to be on the ballot next year. Worth noting, doesn't appear to be up to him, but it's still a headline. We'll talk about it just before 5 o'clock. And the Seattle Seahawks have a player named Chad Wheeler. He's been arrested for felony domestic violence. Horrific allegations with photographic evidence. I bet you'll never watch him play in the NFL again. Give you the details on that story during four notable stories, 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Karkus, just like always, then I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with Memphis basketball. Big game last night inside FedEx Forum. Didn't start well, but it ended perfectly. The Tigers were down 7-0 3 minutes into the game. They trailed by 11 points 11 minutes into the game and by as many as 13 points in the first half. Not great. But they actually led 34-31 after 20 minutes, and they were tied 70-70 with 2:18 left. Game in the balance, could go either way. The Tigers handled the situation by outscoring SMU 6-2 in the final 2:18, thanks in part to a waved-off SMU three-pointer that violated the shot clock. So Memphis won 76-72 and extended its winning streak to three games. Five players scored in double figures. Alex Lomax had a team-high 14 points and five assists. Musa Cisse had a double-double in just 21 minutes. Landers Nolly made three threes, finished with 12 points and three assists. And the Tigers, in general, performed well offensively, again, for the third consecutive game. I told you after the Wichita State game last week that I wanted to see if they could replicate really just two things against East Carolina. Could they, respectable three-point shooting, and two, another 40-minute game with more assists than turnovers. That's it. Like, let's just set a pretty reasonable baseline. Hey, you did these things against Wichita State. Let's see if you can do them again against East Carolina. Against Wichita State, if you forgot, they were 11 of 18 from three, so that was 61% from the arc. They had 22 assists and 16 turnovers. Could they do something like that again? Not necessarily 61% from three, but respectable from three and more assists than turnovers. So on Sunday, they played and they replicated it. They were 11 of 25 from three at East Carolina, so 44% from beyond the arc. Not as good as they were against Wichita State, but still great and even better than I asked to see. They had 20 assists and 17 turnovers in that game, so more assists and turnovers for the second straight game. Good stuff, but East Carolina stinks. So it was reasonable to wonder if it meant anything meaningful. So the question this time yesterday, roughly 2 hours in advance of tip-off, was whether they could replicate it again for a third straight game, this time against a quality opponent like SMU. And we got the answer last night. And the answer was yes. They were 10 of 21 from three, so 47.6%. And they finished with 13 assists and just 12 turnovers. And I've been saying for a while now, if they finish with more assists than turnovers and shoot above 36% from three, they're good enough to beat anybody in the league besides Houston. And that doesn't mean they can't beat Houston. It just means I'm fairly certain those baselines are going to be good enough to beat everybody except Houston. And it might be good enough to beat Houston too, but I don't want to take it too far. Either way, it's now three straight wins with three straight competent offensive performances. The past three games, it's a relatively small sample size, but not insignificant. Past three games, they are 32 of 64 from three. That's 50%.
I'll take it.
Fantastic.
Yep.
11 of 18 against Wichita State, 11 of 25 against East Carolina, 10 of 21 against SMU. So on average, past three games, 11 of 21 from three. and now they're shooting 34.5% from three on the season, which obviously isn't great, but it's about 4 points better than they were a week ago.
Yeah.
Last Thursday morning, they were shooting 30.2% from three on the season. If they were still shooting 30.2% from three today, that would rank 288th in the country. Less than a week later, they're up to 34.5% from three. Today, that ranks 133rd in the country. So the Tigers have improved by about 150 spots in the national three-point rankings during this three-game winning streak. They're moving in the right direction. And the computer numbers are too. Memphis is now up to number 68 in the net and back inside the top 60 at KenPom. The computers break down like this. They're 45th at KPI, 58th in Sagarin, 59th in BPI, 59th at KenPom, 68th in the net. So anywhere from 45th to 68 in the computers most commonly referenced. They're now 3-4 in the first two quadrants with one additional loss in quadrant three. And tomorrow night, they'll have a chance to pull to 500 in the first two quadrants when they play at SMU. In fact, they'll have a chance to get their first quadrant one victory of the season. So it's a big opportunity just 48 hours after they took advantage of a big opportunity. Big Bet Bennett, I'm assuming you watched last night. What did you make of the Tigers' performance, and were you concerned Kendrick Davis's double-pump three-pointer would not actually be waved off?
Yeah, I was very concerned about that. That did look like it probably should have counted, but whatever. I think the encouraging thing on top of everything you just said is the fact that this team is starting to look like what we kind of thought that they would look like at the beginning of the year, where you have older players that are contributing every game, and you've got this this big-time freshman recruit, and that's starting to look like a big-time freshman recruit, right? Like, he's had three good games in a row, Musa has, and he looks like he's a guy that belongs as opposed to a guy who's just, you know, bigger than everybody else
and
out there.
And he did have a great game last night. Again, double-double in 21 minutes. He got played off the court.
He did, and that's I agree with what Penny said.
So do I, by the way, because I know that was controversial. Like, why is Musa's got a double-double? Why is he not on the court? He got played off the court, and
absolutely.
Penny explained it afterward. Like, if we had him out there, he would probably do some good things, but they were going to put him in pick-and-roll situations every possession, and he's not equipped to do that right now, which, by the way, is also why he will not be a first-round pick next year. He cannot guard in space right now, and that makes you – nearly undraftable as a center and nothing but a center in the first round of an NBA draft.
Yeah, and I also thought that another reason he took him off, look, they're all of them were bad at free throw shooting, right? But, like, his are really bad.
Right.
Like, he's got to work on that. He can't make a free throw. So if you get in a close game like they were down the street, they're going to foul him.
Right.
You know? And so I totally get having to pull him. But, again, that's why you have these older players like Alo that carried his weight last night. Like I said a couple games ago, he's got to play good for them to win these high-level games versus, like, an SMU.
There's still a limit on what he can do. I think even his biggest fans would acknowledge that. But he was an undeniable difference maker last night.
Yeah.
He does seem to have settled into a leadership role on this team. And he is probably their best option at that position. Like, you know,
100%.
Like last night, at the same time Memphis was playing, St. Louis and Dayton were playing on CBS Sports Network. And there's Jalen Crutcher at Dayton, Memphian, 5 three-pointers, 27 points, upsetting number 22 St. Louis.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to have him on this Memphis roster. When we were talking about it last night on Inside College Basketball, like, when Jalen Crutcher came out of Memphis, came out of high school, he was not considered a Memphis-level recruit. And now if you put him on Memphis's roster, he would be their best guard, clearly, and probably their best player.
No doubt.
But whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, right.
It is what it is. And by the way, it wasn't like Penny opted not to recruit Jalen Crutcher. Penny wasn't even the coach at Memphis when Jalen Crutcher enrolled at Dayton.
Right.
It was the previous staff. Their recruiting struggles are well documented. But Alex Omex was good last night. You know, led the team in points, made big plays. He was a plus last night, undeniably. The Kendrick Davis three-pointer was confusing, I think, if you were watching on television, because the main shot clock that ESPN was showing, it was crystal clear. The ball was out of his hands, and there was still a one on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were watching on TV and you were just focusing on the shot clock they were showing you, it looked like he got that off. And that's why I saw on Twitter people tweeting when the officials waved it off and said it was a shot clock violation, oh, Memphis is getting home cooking. Oh, wow, SMU just got screwed. But, and I went and took a picture of that. I went back on my DirecTV and took a picture of it. If you ignored the clock ESPN was showing you and actually looked at the shot clock behind the basket, which is the one the officials are using, they're not using that one ESPN showing you. As John Adams, who is the former national director of basketball officiating at the Division I level, tweeted at me last night after I tweeted that picture, you're looking at the clock above the goal, the clock connected to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
This other clock that ESPN's showing you, that don't matter. The shot clock that matters is the one on the goal being shot at. And if you looked at it, and you can go to my Twitter and see the picture now, the clock that ESPN's showing you has a one on it. The clock behind the goal is at zero.
Interesting.
And the ball is still on his fingertips. Just barely. I mean, it is as close as it gets.
Yeah, it's almost like usually they'll have that shot, right? Like, it's almost like they didn't have that shot. Like, you'll usually get it, like, from behind the player, looking towards the goal.
Well, it is one of the few times where I think you can really notice that the crew's not in the building.
Yes.
You know, I've called games this year from my home for CBS Sports Network. Quote, sideline reporter for CBS Sports Network on a college basketball game. But I'm not on the sideline. I'm not even in the building. I'm in my office at home. And it's different. You know, you see things when you're standing 10 feet from it that you can't see from your office on a monitor. And so, in fairness to the broadcasting crew last night, who otherwise I thought did a good job, I think they were limited in what they could see.
Agreed.
And for whatever reason, they didn't notice what I noticed, which is stop looking at this clock that has the one and look at the clock behind the basket, which has a zero. So they were misled by the wrong clock. And then their words, I think, misled a lot of people who were watching the game. And it led to some confusion. But based on the actual shot clock that the officials are instructed to use, it did look like a shot clock violation. And you can genuinely argue that it might have changed the outcome of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because that shot counts. It's 73-73 with a minute 40 left. That shot doesn't count. It's 73-70, Memphis ball up three. The game just plays out differently. It doesn't mean Memphis wouldn't have still won, but the game just plays differently based on that shot counting or not counting. So it was a fortunate break for Memphis that the double pump caused the shot to get off just a millisecond, it appeared, too late. Now, you get on a plane, you go to SMU, and you try to beat them in back-to-back opportunities. And I will say, as someone who has monitored this unusual scheduling this season, it appears that the team that wins the first game in these back-to-back situations, unless they are significantly better than the other team, is at a disadvantage in game two.
Mm-hmm.
For emotional/focus reasons. Now, like, a lot of leagues are doing this. Like, Conference USA is playing back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
MVC is playing back-to-backs. Like, Drake played Missouri State last night. They're going to play Missouri State again tonight. The reason they're doing it is for the same reason the Lakers play the Grizzlies two times in a row inside FedEx Forum. Cut down on travel, minimize risk. So Memphis is in one of these situations, I believe for the first time right now, where you're playing a team back-to-back.
Yes.
And what appears to happen, like if it's Gonzaga playing Pepperdine back-to-back, Gonzaga will win the first one by 40 and the next one by 25.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're comparable teams, and SMU and Memphis are comparable teams, a pattern that has developed in the sport is that the team that wins the first one maybe lacks a little focus at the start of the second one, and the team that lost the first one is like fired up, can't wait to get back on the court, let's go. I mentioned I called a game, CBS Sports Network, sideline duty from my home a few weeks ago. It was Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech. Comparable teams. I think Western Kentucky's better, but like they're in the same conversation. Western Kentucky on Friday night, beat them. I don't want to say with no problem, but beat them. Next night, same two teams, same roster, same coaches, same venue, same everything. Western Kentucky's down like 15 minutes in. Had to play catch up the entire night. It seemed pretty clear that they lacked focus to start the second game after winning the first one. And that is something that I've heard coaches talk about, and it's something that I've seen pop up all over the country in these back-to-back situations. So if you're Penny Hardaway and that staff, I think you want to sit down with your team, whether it's tonight, in the morning, or just before tip-off, and maybe have 20 examples of where the team that won the first game lost the second game. Now, why are you good enough to beat them on a Tuesday but can't get it done on a Thursday? If you're Western Kentucky, why are you good enough to win this game on a Friday? Same situation, can't win it on Saturday. It's got to be a focus issue on some level. Don't let that happen to us. This is a quad one opportunity. We don't have a lot of them left. This is a quad one opportunity against a team we just beat that we believe we're better than. So go be even better than them this time than we were last time and come back home on a four-game winning streak. You've got to stress, I think, that lack of focus will be the thing that gets you. It's getting teams all over the country in similar situations. But either way, given where we were last Thursday morning compared to where we are right now with this Memphis basketball program, it seems like two totally different worlds.
Yes.
Felt almost hopeless heading into the Wichita State game. Now, given the way that they are consistently guarding and playing offensively, they look like they really could develop into the second-best team in the American Athletic Conference, with the best team being Houston, somebody that's ranked in everybody's top 10 right now. I'll talk to Jeff Borzello about it next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
All 36-month leases, $31.49 new at signing, zero security deposit, $650 acquisition fee, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Forte ME296274, MSRP 20,625, sold M775682, MSRP 20,315, K5 MG003199, MSRP 25725, includes all manufacturer rebates and incentives, PF695, excludes tax title and license with approved credit warranty as a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details. Offer valid through 1/31/21, dealer stock only.
It's time to be happy, happy with your new ride from Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah. Jeff's waiting for you with a 2021 Kia Forte. 142 a month lease. Redesigned 2021 Kia Soul, 148 a month lease. And 2021 Kia K5, 182 a month lease. All just 36 months, $31.49 due at signing. Plus, every Gossett Kia on Mount Moriah comes with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia 2680 Mount Moriah or KiaMountMoriah.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor.
The success of Janet's meal prep business is keeping her from keeping up with customer appetites.
Paleo Prep Meals, this is Janet. Yep, you just reheat. But we actually have a wait list currently. Oh, can you hold on one sec?
She needs to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
If I'm not commuting anymore, where do I really want to live?
While you handle life's questions, Merrill Guided Investing helps you manage your portfolio and invest for your next move. With the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/investing goals to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
Mid-South, there's never been a better time to buy than right now at Gossett Kia on Covington Pike. So start your new year in a new ride like 2021 Kia Forte, 142 a month lease. The all-new 2021 Kia Soul, completely redesigned exterior and interior, yours for 148 a month lease. Plus the sporty midsize sedan, 2021 Kia K5, 182 a month lease. All 36 months, $31.49 due at signing. Plus Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. So hurry to Gossett Kia Covington Pike, online KiaCovingtonPike.com. Ask for Bobby J. He'll put you in a Kia today.
If you want it, we got it.
36-month leases, $31.49 new at signing, zero security deposit, $650 acquisition fee, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Forte, ME296-274, MSRP 20,625, sold, M77-55682, MSRP 20,315, K5 MG003199, MSRP 25,725, includes all manufacturer rebates and incentives, PF695, excludes tax title and license with approved credit warranty as a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details. Offer valid through 1/31/21, dealer stock only.
Does it feel like finding clothes in your fit is impossible? Tired of feeling overwhelmed with options that just aren't right? Let the experts at Stitch Fix do the shopping for you. At Stitch Fix, we make sure each piece is hand-selected for your life. So whether you're staying home or on the go, Stitch Fix has the answer for what to wear. We make it easy to find what works for you. Signing up takes just a few minutes, and styles are delivered directly to your door. Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, your style delivered.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me.
You looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? If so, get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. That's a second-generation local agency. Been owned and operated since 1981. If you live in Tennessee, Elizabeth can help you. You live in Mississippi, she can help you. She's a proud partner with Memphis Tigers Athletics. So if you're somebody who likes to support local businesses that support the local athletic departments, especially in these trying times, then Elizabeth Rook Insurance is the insurance agency for you. Do you have a good life insurance policy? If not, you need one. You wouldn't want something to happen to you and you leave your family in an emotional bind, an emotional mess that also creates a financial bind. A life insurance policy can help you avoid that, help them avoid that. Make sure you have a good one. You can get one with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. They are temporarily waiving the medical exam to help you with COVID-19 social distancing protocols. Take advantage of that and give them a call. 867-SAVE, that's 901-867-7283. Two locations in the Memphis area, one on Canada Road in Lakeland, the others on Highway 51 in Covington. Check them out on the web at rookinsurance.com. That's rookinsurance.com. Tennessee's got a new football coach. His name's Josh Heupel. We'll talk about him next. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he covers college basketball for the worldwide leader, ESPN. It's Jeff Brazello making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, using food and wine to create memorable times.
Okay, Borzello, Memphis is unranked and not even on the bubble, so I would not expect them to be on your radar. But they have won three straight games. They've shot 50% from three in those three games. They're up to number four in adjusted defensive efficiency. And folks around here are starting to get excited a little bit. Is it justified, or would an outsider tell folks here, you beat Wichita State, East Carolina, and SMU? Calm down.
Yeah, I do think that there is reason to get excited. I mean, look, if you look maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, earlier this month, I mean, the offense looked just absolutely inept. I mean, there's a two losses to Tulsa surrounding the 1-point home win over South Florida. They didn't break 60 points in any of those three games. And since then, I don't know what happened during the 3 weeks they were off, but they can't miss from 3-point range now. They're not taking more threes; they're just making more. They've made at least 10 in each of the last three games. They hadn't done that since last February of last season. And so, if this hot shooting keeps up, you know, this defense is for real. And I don't see that changing. So if they can keep making shots from the perimeter, keep guarding the way they're guarding. I mean, last night was their worst defensive game, since the second game of the year, and they still won. And that was against a good SMU team. So I think that they can kind of establish themselves as the second-best team in the league. Now, the problem for them is that the only way they can really boost their resume is by beating Houston. And they only play Houston once this season on the road. And to put all your eggs in the beat Houston on the road basket, it's going to be hard. So if they don't win that game, you know, I think that their margin for error in terms of an at-large bid is pretty small. But I do think that something is flipped with this offense, the way they're making shots lately. And they do have shot makers. I mean, they have multiple guys on this team who have proven either in high school or in college, either at Memphis or somewhere else, that they can make shots from the perimeter. So if that keeps up, I think that they can keep this winning streak going. But again, you know, the problem with the AAC is there's just not that many chances to boost their resume.
I will say, and this is confusing because it doesn't show up on all schedules because the AAC hasn't determined specifically when a second game with Houston will be played, but they will play Houston, at least they're supposed to play Houston, at Houston and inside FedEx Forum. It's just the date hasn't been confirmed, so it doesn't show up on some schedules. But either way, your larger point is exactly right. There's not a lot of opportunities to get quadrant one wins or signature wins, and when two of them are against a team that, you know, is in everybody's top 10 now, it's that's a tough ask. Not impossible, but it's a tough ask. Let me ask you about conference tournaments, because that seems to be a big topic of conversation now throughout the sport. A, is every league going to hold one? And B, if leagues do hold them, will specific teams that already have NCAA tournament at-large bids locked up opt out of them? How would you respond if somebody asked you, A, are we going to have conference tournaments across the board like we always do? And B, if we have them, will teams opt out?
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to have them across the board. I mean, I've reached out to a few conference commissioners over the past few days, and right now everyone's saying that they're planning as scheduled, as usual. You know, whatever their usual schedule is, whether it's every team or eight teams or 10 teams, that's the way they're planning to do it. But if you talk to other people around the sport, there's a lot of thought that's saying, well, the reason that the leagues aren't canceling it yet is that if you cancel it now, what's the impetus for teams not to opt out? You know, why is Iowa State going to keep playing if the Big 12 says, hey, we're not going to do a conference tournament? You know, Iowa State, Kansas State, teams like that, why would they keep playing? And so I think that there is, you know, probably some legitimacy to saying that. I do think that by and large, leagues are going to try to have conference tournaments, especially the smaller leagues where, you know, that's kind of the biggest excitement of the season is the conference tournament. But you look at the big leagues, I mean, what's the reason that Iowa is going to play in the Big Ten tournament? Why is Gonzaga going to play in the WCC tournament? With the NCAA saying you need 7 days of negative tests before you can even travel to Indianapolis, the risk that you're kind of putting yourself in position for, you know, playing, I don't know how many games you play in those 7 days, probably three or four games, the risk to me just isn't worth it. You know, if one of your guys, let's say Luka Garza, tests positive on the Wednesday of the Big Ten tournament, you know, what does that mean for Iowa? Is their first game of the NCAA tournament going to be delayed? Can Garza join in, you know, after the tournament starts? There's just a lot of questions that we have to answer about the timeline for the NCAA tournament. And to me, you know, if you're a lock for the tournament and you really kind of don't see yourself moving up or down in either direction during the tournament, I don't see why you'd risk playing in the conference tournament.
Dan Gavitt is basically on record at this point, I believe, saying if you get a positive test, that player is going to be out for a minimum 10 days. And
yep.
I think the quote was something along the lines of, and this isn't really an event that you can postpone. Like if it were, you know, a random football game, you could just say, hey, we're going to play it 4 days from now. Like the NFL kept moving games back 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. NBA doing it all the time as well. Dan Gavitt seemed to suggest if Luka Garza tests positive the Wednesday before the NCAA tournament starts, Iowa's going to have to try to win two games without Luka Garza. That's mm-hmm. And once you know that is your reality, if that pops that way, if I'm Fran McCaffrey, I don't want to play in the Big Ten tournament.
No, absolutely not. It's just, I mean, to me, Gonzaga would be the biggest example of it.
Right.
You know, but assuming that they keep playing the way they are, they're going to have a one seed, maybe the overall one seed, locked up well before the WCC tournament. You know, to me, I mean, what are they gaining by playing in it? Nothing. And so now you look at that and say, well, if they opt out and the WCC keeps having a tournament, that's going to be bad news for, you know, Michigan State, Memphis, whoever the last team on the bubble is, because a second team from the league is going to get a bid now. So there are a lot of ramifications for a Gonzaga or somebody like that opting out, or Houston opting out of the AAC tournament. If one of those two type of teams opts out, you're going to see ramifications down the bracket.
That's right. I'm talking to Jeff Borzello here from ESPN. Wouldn't the most obvious solution to all of this have been just play your conference tournaments a week earlier?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of schedule adjustments we could have made.
Yes, it's crazy.
If we knew how this was going to go. I mean, I think we all talked about back in November, everyone said, all right, those 3 or 4 weeks that students aren't on campus in November and December, we got to get as many games in as possible. and then no leagues went out and really played any conference games. It was like, all right, make sure you get six non-conference games in. In retrospect, you should have said, all right, every league play 20, 22 conference games, get a bunch of games in during December, leave open some opportunities. For, I mean, you mentioned before Memphis has to play Houston again. There's not a ton of openings in their schedule where they could fit that game in. So in retrospect, they should have kind of moved that up, moved every conference schedule up until November, leave yourself some more weeks to switch games around.
That way, even if, let's say, go back to Iowa, Luka Garza tests positive after the Big Ten tournament, you've got basically 2 weeks until you're playing in the NCAA tournament. He'd be back. You know, you could bubble up your team. I mean, really, you could have just played the Big Ten tournament, announced the bracket, and then everybody go to Indianapolis and just bubble up there. And you've got
I originally thought that was going to be the case. Like, there was going to be a kind of a 10-day pause on Selection Sunday where every team could kind of get in the bubble or get in the controlled environment, make sure everything is clear, and then we start on whatever it is, March 24th, and kind of everyone has an even playing field. But it doesn't seem that we're going to have anything close to that.
Right. I think, you know, the solution here would have been moving the conference tournaments up. I've heard other people say move the NCAA tournament back, but I don't think my employer wanted to move the NCAA tournament back. I think they wanted the Final Four on one weekend and the Masters on the next weekend, and moving it back would have disrupted that. And I think probably Turner and CBS had as much of a control over that as anybody else. I'm talking to Jeff Borzello here from ESPN. Let's talk actual basketball. Alabama won again last night, beat Kentucky by double digits. They're now on a 10-game winning streak, 9-0 in the SEC. They're leading the league by three games. They're going to win it by maybe three, four, even five games. Are you ready to call Nate Oates' Crimson Tide a legitimate national title contender?
I'll say no, just because I really only see Gonzaga or Baylor winning the national title.
That's fair. That's the way you argue it, by the way. You say the only national title contenders are those two guys, those two teams. Nobody else is. I could buy that, sure.
But I do think, I mean, outside of those two, I think you can kind of put them in that next year if you want. I mean, I don't see them as significantly worse than Villanova or Michigan or somebody like that. I mean, when they're hitting shots, which for them is more often than not, you know, they're impossible to guard. I mean, they've been pummeling teams in the SEC. I mean, you know, they have five, six guys that can make shots. They're hitting 10, 12, 14 threes a game at a 40% clip. You know, there's kind of, hitting teams with a barrage of threes and teams can't compete. And then last night, they missed threes early. And then in the second half, they started going to the basket and trying to score in different ways. And Kentucky couldn't guard them that way. And it's just, you know, they have so many ways they can score. And it seems like they're kind of the closest version to those Fred Hoiberg Iowa State teams from 5-6 years ago, where they just kind of spread the floor, find a matchup where the defense can't really guard them, and then just go after that time and time again. And they take threes, they pretty much only take threes and layups. And it's the most efficient NBA style offense that you can run. And teams this season haven't really been able to stop them.
Wrapping up here with Jeff Borzello from ESPN. Last thing before I let you go. We mentioned Kentucky. They're now 5-10. I was on radio in Louisville earlier today, and it was with Bob Vivano, and he asked me, like, is it over for Kentucky, or is there still some reason to think they can actually turn this thing around? And my answer to him was, I think this is done. I mean, like, they're going to win, some games here and there, but there's no realistic path to them actually doing enough to get back into NCAA tournament consideration. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I mean, they're finished. What they've done, from what we've seen so far, there's no way they win four games in 4 days or whatever they would have to do to win the SEC tournament. And if you're talking that large, they would have to go kind of 9-1 somewhere around there the rest of the way. That's not happening. I mean, they've shown flashes of life against Florida and LSU, but we haven't seen them put together any sort of stretch of consistent basketball since the beginning of the year. I mean, they don't have anyone that can score consistently, can shoot consistently. You know, they seem to be kind of tweaking their lineup and rotation every other game. I just think they have a lot of problems, and there's just not enough time where they can kind of figure this out and fix it by the end of the year.
That is Jeff Borzello from ESPN. Make sure you're reading him, ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Jeff Borzello. Terrific stuff, buddy. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks, man.
I'll see you. That's Jeff Borzello from ESPN. With Kentucky, like, if you think being a Memphis fan has been frustrating this season up until last Thursday, it doesn't even compare to being a Kentucky fan, because with Kentucky, first off, frustrated Memphis, disappointing Memphis is still 9-5.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointing Kentucky is 5-10.
Dude, that's unbelievable.
And Memphis, you know, was ranked some places in the preseason, other places not. Kentucky was a preseason top 10 team.
I mean, they're really probably going to finish with a losing record, right?
I think almost certainly.
Yeah.
And it'll be the first losing record for John Calipari as a college head coach since 1988-89, which was his first season at UMass. After year one at UMass, never had a losing record. At Memphis, never had a losing record. At Kentucky till this season, never had a losing record. But now it's almost a certainty that he's going to have one. And the thing that's even more frustrating than that, it's the same stuff every game. Same stuff. I've been saying it since the first week of the season. Can't shoot, can't take care of the ball. Can't shoot, can't take care of the ball. So what'd they do last night? Shot 35% from the field, turned it over 17 times. I think it was 17 turnovers, 12 assists. Shot 35% from the field. Same stuff. Every game. They just can't get it fixed. They have moments where they look better, but they've never shown that they're a good enough team to do anything close to the stuff they would have to do at this point to even get back into NCAA tournament consideration. So, yeah, this is going to be an all-time bad year for John Calipari's Wildcats. And with Alabama, I think Borzello's right. Like, I wouldn't pick anybody other than Gonzaga or Baylor to win the NCAA tournament right now. I don't know if you saw this sports line.
Mm-hmm.
Took Jerry Palm's most recent bracket, so the bracket he published on Monday morning, and they simulated it 10,000 times, the NCAA tournament, using all the data they use.
Okay.
Gonzaga won it 35% of the time. Like, that's a big percentage for a single elimination tournament. Gonzaga won it 35% of the time. Baylor won it 14% of the time. So basically, 50% of the time, one of two teams won it. I mean, we really are in a situation right now where you could ask somebody reasonably, you want Gonzaga, Baylor, or the field, and the smart answer might be, give me Gonzaga, Baylor, and I'll take them over the entire field. So when Borzello says, I don't think anybody other than Gonzaga and Baylor is a legitimate national title contender, I see where he's coming from. There's a lot of data to back that up. But if you take those two teams and set them over here and said, okay, now fill out the rest of the Final Four, I'm ready to put Alabama in there.
Okay.
Top 15 in offensive efficiency, top 10 in defensive efficiency. Style of play is really tough to deal with. They're going to take about 65 shots a game, nearly half of them coming from three. Three of their top five scorers shoot above 40% from three. When they're on, you're dead. When they're not on, like last night, they weren't. They can still hang around with you because they're good enough defensively, and then they've always got that ability to just pull away. They were in a tie game last night with Kentucky, 3 minutes to go. They won by 11. They won 70-59. It's like 59-59 with 3 minutes to go, and then they just run away from them. Some of it because Kentucky's turned the ball over. Some of it's just because they can run away from you really quickly. This is not a fluky 10-game winning streak. They have earned it, and they are blowing out most people. So if you haven't watched Alabama, that's one of the most entertaining teams in the country. They play fast. They shoot threes. They shoot them well, and they guard. That's a hard combination to deal with if you're the opposition. When we come back, Tennessee's got a new football coach. His name's Josh Heupel. Is this a good hire or a bad hire? I can make the argument both ways. It's very easy to argue why it's a bad hire. That's simple. I'll do that first, and then I'll explain to you why it could actually turn out being a good one. Listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When it comes to home comfort, there's only one name you need to remember. That's Landmark Heating and Air Conditioning. Still family-owned and operated, we've been keeping you comfortable with superior service and exceptional products for over 50 years. Whether it's routine maintenance, emergency service, or a complete new system, our trained, professional, and friendly staff is always ready to assist you. For all your home comfort needs, we are the comfort company you can trust. Call us today at 365-4260 or visit us at landmarkheatingandair.com.
The Start Something New sales event on now at Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on the Pike, where you'll find 2020 Jeep Renegade Latitude 4-wheel drive, IIHS top safety pick, $19,688 or $245 a month. You ready to charge up in your new 2020 Dodge Charger? We Gossett at $24,990 or $325 a month. And get Ram tough in a 2020 Ram 1500 Tradesman Car. crew cab 4x2, just $26,740 or $349 a month. So drive past the rest and come to the best at Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat, 1901 Covington Pike, or shop online anytime at GossettMotorCars.net.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
Almost finance through Chrysler, all $3,500 cash down, 75 months at 4.10% APR. Renegade LPMO 2132, MSRP 26580, Charger LH 248214, MSRP 32860, Ram LS 156730, MSRP 38185. Includes all rebates and incentives, PS 695, excludes tax on and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through end of the month, dealer stock only.
It's time to start placing smarter bets, more profitable bets. If you're an experienced sports bettor or someone who's just starting out, BetQL is here to help us all become better bettors. BetQL runs hundreds of thousands of simulations and rates each potential bet on a scale of 1 to 5 stars. 1 star? Maybe skip that game. 5 stars? That's like a big green light telling you to go. Look, you wouldn't torture your stomach with a 1-star restaurant. Don't do it to your wallet. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. We're talking about real, proven analytics here. Not some hot takes from a random guy online. BetQL's computer model analyzes every bet every day to find you the best opportunities. Pro and college games, football, basketball, and more. You can sort by sport or choose from a list of the best bets available right now in real time. So before sitting down to watch your favorite sports, see if the data backs up your betting instincts. Bet smarter and beat the books with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All 36-month leases, $31.49 new at signing, zero security deposit, $650 acquisition fee, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Forte ME296274, MSRP 20,625, sold M77-55682, MSRP 20,315, K5MG003199, MSRP 25,725, includes all manufacturer rebates and incentives, PF695, excludes tax title and license with approved credit, warranty is a limited powertrain warranty, see Kia.com or retailer for details. Offer valid through 1/31/21, dealer stock only.
It's time to be happy, happy with your new ride from Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah. Jeff's waiting for you with a 2021 Kia Forte. $142 a month lease. Redesigned 2021 Kia Soul, $148 a month lease. And 2021 Kia K5, $182 a month lease. All just 36 months, $31.49 due at signing. Plus, every Gossett Kia on Mount Moriah comes with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia 2680 Mount Moriah or KiaMountMoriah.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
Looking for fine jewelry for that special occasion? Look no further than James Gaddis Jewelers. Hi, this is Jay Gaddis, and for over 60 years, my family has been here for Memphians on every occasion. Specializing in engagement, bridal, and custom design, we are here to make your dreams come true. Depend on us for birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's, or any day in need of a smile. We have an extensive selection of gemstone, diamond, and pearl jewelry, watches, and designer pieces. Shop local at Poplar near Mendenhall in the heart of East Memphis. James Gaddis Jewelers, your family's jeweler.
Love getting prices that are lower than low on food that's fresher than fresh? Then shop at Kroger. We give you more ways to save on the fresh you love with tools like the Kroger app, where you can find personalized coupons on top of weekly sales, giving you prices that are lower than the everyday low. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Sign up for the Kroger RX Savings Club and your prescriptions could be free. Get started at KrogerSC.com, powered by GoodRx. Restrictions may apply.
All 75 months at 3.4%, G4, MHFO1604, MSRP 17735, Sport, MU002364, MSRP 24740, Outlander LZO39486, MSRP 26630, includes all rebates and incentives, PF 695, excludes tax title and license with approved credit, see dealer for complete details, offer valid through end of the month, dealer stock only.
Start 2021 with a bang and your new ride from Gossett Mitsubishi on the Pike. Spend less time filling up and more time getting to the things you love with the 2021 Mitsubishi Mirage G4, 41 mpg highway, $14,994 or $179 a month. Adventure ready 2021 Outlander Sport, $19,673 or $239 a month. And Gossett Mitsubishi has the feature-filled family SUV, 2020 Mitsubishi Outlander, $21,643 or $269 a month. Not leases, you own them. Plus, you get Mitsubishi's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. That's Gossett Mitsubishi, 1870 Covington Pike, or shop online at memphismitsubishi.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the card dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. Last temptation.
Are you looking for the biggest brands in computers? If so, place to look is Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah office park. They got big brands like Dell, HP, Lenovo, Asus, Apple. Big savings on the biggest names in computers at Cooper Systems. They still got the New Year's sale going. Incredible markdowns on laptops and printers. They cover all your computer needs. They even handle service and data recovery, so don't ever forget that. Cooper Systems isn't just a place to get you a new computer. It's a place that can fix your old computer or set up a network in your home. Data recovery, broken screen, whatever you need, they can handle it at Cooper Systems. And if for whatever reason you don't feel like going to the Mount Moriah Office Park, they can send somebody to your home or office. Just got to give them a call. 360-9679. That's 360-9679. You're looking for a computer, desktop, laptop, notebook, tablet, gaming computer, or a refurbished computer. $2,000 or $200. Whatever you're looking for, they're going to have it at Cooper Systems. If they don't have it, they can get it for you. If they can't get it for you, they can build it for you. 360-9679. It's Cooper Systems on the web, coopersystems.com. Jeff Cogan to be here a little after 5 o'clock. Right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 444. Story number one.
Tennessee has a new football coach. His name's Josh Heupel. You might remember him as the coach at UCF. So Tennessee hires UCF's athletic director.
Yeah.
And then UCF's former athletic director hires UCF's football coach.
Yeah, people seem happy.
Do they?
No.
Okay. Okay, because that's not what I saw either. That's not what I saw either. But I didn't know. Like I sometimes
no, sometimes, they don't seem happy.
Sometimes I'm not in it. It's I was about to say something that would be a that's what she. Sometimes I don't pay attention to all of the little Twitter and Facebook and message board stuff. I don't know what the normal folk are saying. I live in my own little world sometimes, particularly when I'm super super busy. But what I had thought is that people were not happy with this hire.
It's going bad,
and I would understand. Like I would not be happy with this hire. But I can give you a reason to believe that maybe, just maybe, it'll work out. But first, let's start with the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
What do people ever always say about coaches and jobs? Did he leave it better than he got it? Was it better when he left than it was when he got it?
No.
Like with Tubby Smith, the answer is no.
Right.
With Penny, despite the disappointment, the season, still yes. The program's in a way better place than it was the day that he got it. Way better. UCS football program is not better.
No.
We went 13-0 before he got the job. Then he went 12-1 with the other guy's team. And then next year, 10-3. Next year, 6-4. Then he got the Tennessee job. He literally got worse every year. It got worse under him than it was under his under the previous coach, Scott Frost. So he was worse in year one than the previous coach was in his final season. And then he was even worse in year two and even worse in year three, and then he got the Tennessee job. So if you're trying to hate it, that's where you start. And that is where I come down on.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have made this hire. I would have hired somebody other than Josh Heupel. I don't know who, but I just know it wouldn't have been him. I am not impressed by somebody who gets worse at their job every year.
I just also think, like, unless it's just someone who is a no-brainer, when you're the brand-new AD and you're hiring the guy from the job you came from, it just looks like you just hired your guy.
Well, if your guy was somebody who inherited a mess and was good in year one, even better in year two, and even better in year three, then bring your guy.
Then do it.
But this ain't that.
No.
This guy was good in year one, worse in year two, even worse in year three, and now you're taking him to a bigger job. So I would not have done this. Now let me try to play devil's advocate. Danny White, the athletic director, has a history of making good hires. Regardless of what you think of Josh Heupel, he hired Scott Frost at UCF. He hired Nate Oates and Bobby Hurley at Buffalo. He hired Lance Leipold. He's made good hires. He seems to know what good men's basketball and football coaches look like. Okay. He has worked with Josh Heupel for 3 years. If he didn't think he was good,
Wouldn't he be the, like, if he's not good, wouldn't Danny White be the one to know?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, yeah, if
he's not good, wouldn't he know?
Yeah, and you got to get it right. I mean, you're
like follow me here. Sometimes you, if you're in a position to hire somebody, you will hire them because you believe they're going to be good. And even the best are sometimes wrong. You'll just go, man, that didn't work out. That, oh, man, I missed on this one. And you'll know after 3 years. So if he's not any good, Danny White should know that. And if he's not any good, there is no scenario where he would bring him. You would hire the person you don't know. Like, could be good, maybe not, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Before you'd hire somebody you know is bad. And if you work with somebody for 3 years, if he's bad, you would know it, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I mean, think about this.
I think that's true.
Like,
yeah.
if I ran a radio station, I'm in charge of the radio station, and I got one spot to fill. They say, GP, you got to fill this one show, and you're making the hire. Let's say I hired somebody. It doesn't matter who it is. And I worked with this person for 3 years, or I watched him work for 3 years, or watched her work for 3 years. And then I got hired at an even bigger radio station, and they put me in charge. And they said, GP, you got to make a hire. We got to fill this show. I might bring the person I hired for my old station,
mm-hmm.
but only if I genuinely thought he was awesome or she was awesome. If I didn't, I'd just make up a reason why I can't.
Yep.
Hey, man, you got to take me with you. Listen, I would, but they don't want me bringing somebody from the place I work. I would, but they want me to go in this other direction. That is the only reason that makes me think maybe this works. Is because if Josh Heupel isn't good, Danny White should know it. He just worked with him for 3 years. And unless you think somebody's good, why would you bring him? Again, roll the dice on somebody you never met before you bring somebody who's not good. So I'm just going to, again, I want my official stance to be, I would not have done this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to leave open a window of possibility that Josh Heupel might be good. Because Danny White should know. He just worked with him for 3 years. You think the athletic director who hired Larry Porter knew very quickly that this guy wasn't good? Sometimes you don't know till that you get him on campus with you.
Mm-hmm.
But you figure it out in 3 years whether somebody's good or not. And if he's not good, why would you take him with you to Tennessee? That is the only reason I'm leaving open the possibility that it works is because – if Josh Heupel isn't better than what he did at UCF, Danny White should know that. He knows what success looks like. He's been around it. He's hired it. If he's not good, he should know that, and he should have hired literally anybody else. The fact that he hired him, whether he was his first choice or his third, the fact that he hired him suggests there's something there that he believes in. And if you're a Tennessee fan and you want to be optimistic, hold on to that.
Story number two.
SEC football schedules were released earlier today, and I'm not going to run through them because you can go read them if you care. I don't know that it makes for great radio. But two interesting things. Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss is going to return to Knoxville for the first time since he left Knoxville as Tennessee's head coach. And Hugh Freeze at Liberty will return to Oxford for the first time since he left.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Ole Miss as its head coach. Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss are going to play at Tennessee on October 16th. And Liberty and Hugh Freeze are going to play at Ole Miss on November 6th. So they were obviously, they both left those jobs for different reasons. Lane left voluntarily, Hugh not so much. But either way, it'll be interesting homecomings, so to speak, for two prominent college football coaches. And hopefully we will be in a position as a country where we can have full football stadiums to witness it.
Story number three.
Curt Schilling released a statement last night after he once again did not make the Baseball Hall of Fame and said that he did not want to be on the ballot anymore. He'll leave it up to the Veterans Committee someday to evaluate his Hall of Fame candidacy, but leaving it up to the writers who he thinks are not voting for him because of his political beliefs and his strong, very conservative stances, right-wing stances. He thinks the writers are holding that against him. And you know what? I think he's right.
He's definitely right.
Like, let me be clear. I hate Curt Schilling. I think he's a despicable human being.
I'm not a fan either.
But I don't think
the Red Sox. But
I don't think there's any doubt that if he wasn't so public with some of his positions, that he would already be in the Hall of Fame. If I'm being honest,
no, it's true.
I think he would be in the Hall of Fame if he
like
was
he's a Hall of Famer.
If he was marching with Black Lives Matter, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I believe that. And I say that as somebody who hates Curt Schilling. Like, I'm glad he doesn't get in the Hall of Fame. Not glad. I don't really care. But I say that as somebody who cannot stand Curt Schilling, at least what I know of Curt Schilling. But I think he's right. I think he's right. I think the writers have kept him out because all it takes is a few. You know, he's got like 71% of the vote. He needs 75. He basically needs like 15 to 20 ballots to flip. So are there 15 or 20 people out of hundreds that are saying, I'll never vote for that guy no matter what? Yes, I think there is.
Yeah.
I think there are. And so I understand his frustration, even if I disagree with him on just about every issue in this country. But if I were Curt Schilling, I'd never be Curt Schilling. But if I were, I would I'd be frustrated. Sometimes I think people overstate when they think the so-and-sos are out to get them. And I don't know that anybody's out to get Curt Schilling, but I do think if the question is, would Curt Schilling be in the Hall of Fame if not for his very public, controversial stances on issues? I think the answer is yes. I think there are people who will not vote for him because he's Curt Schilling, and that if he was Curt Schilling without those beliefs, without those public stances, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. The other big story, of course, from last night was Barry Bonds did not get in. Roger Clemens did not get in. And it's just ridiculous. I can't make any new argument that I haven't previously made on this, but like Barry Bonds is one of the greatest, is in my opinion, certainly the greatest hitter of my lifetime and one of the greatest hitters of all time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.